Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Scott Wapner with Jim Cramer at the New York Stock Exchange. Carl and David have the morning off. Let's take a look at futures this morning as the markets react to more economic data. PPI, a little bit hotter than expectations. Retail sales amiss. There's your picture. Not much in the pre-market. The S&P would open a fractional winner. The others, you see, pretty mixed. Our roadmap today starts with the inflation watch. Producer prices notched the largest 12-month increase on record. Plus, Boeing, Airbus, and the end of a 17-year dispute. The EU and U.S. resolving a long-standing fight over aircraft subsidies. And watching the memes, of course. Shares of AMC moving higher once again. Petco shares joining the ranks of that volatile trade. Yeah. All right, so here we go. You had PPI comes in, Jim, a little bit hotter. Retail sales was a miss. Now, you could say that was supply chain because right. You look autos. But even ex-autos, that number was a miss.
All right, so let's just say something right here.
The floor is yours.
If every number is hotter than expected, the conclusion is the people who make the numbers are definitely using ill-advised analysis. And I begin to start thinking, why is every number hotter than expected? When you and I know, for instance, that it's going to be hot. Like, who is creating these expectations? I was watching Joe Tsai today, right? And it's like this. He's talking with Joe, with Andrew. And he's spending most of the time talking about geopolitical. But I was going to say, if Harden plays, then I think they're better. All right.
So ticket prices may be higher. We've got to get inflation on the price on the secondary market.
I just think enough. We've got to stop playing into the hands of people. Of course, it's hotter than expected. It's hot. I don't know who expects that it's not hot.
Well, then why then do...
Well, that's why the market didn't go down on the CPI.
Why is everybody making a big deal?
I'm not.
It's not just Paul Tudor Jones.
I ain't making a big deal on it.
Jamie Dimon.
Well, there's another guy who's not making a big deal.
He said they're hoarding cash because inflation's probably here to stay. Well, Jim Gorman, Morgan Stanley says transitory. It's probably not as transitory as people think.
Oh, these
guys. I mean, who's right? The so-called smart money or the market?
All right. The market is always smarter than the rich people who opine on it. And the reason it is because of what you just slipped in, supply chain. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's take a look at what Dr. Gottlieb, whom I think we all believe in. I've never heard a bad word about this man. There's now a 16-day delay at a 12-million-person, a giant city for ports, okay? It was a half a day delay. That is going to cause inflation.
Oh, in China?
In China.
Okay.
Well, so Dr. Gottlieb says about their a much-vaunted power, Chinese Belt Road, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. Their vaccine is 50% effective against the original strain, of which, by the way, he doesn't say this, may or may not have been invented by them, but probably much less against the Delta variant. So here we go. I can predict that 2 months from now, inflation is going to be hotter than expected because China is spending so much time, the supply chain is being interrupted again. So I'm just saying that Jay Powell.
You could be on a first name basis.
Jay,
that's okay.
Is looking at all the things and just saying, you know, guys, I told you it was going to run hot. I told you that. And it's running hot.
Not only did he tell you it's going to run hot, he told you we're fine with it running hot for a little while.
Right. So I know he'll be heckled. I know he'll be hectored by the media, because what else does the media do other than repeatedly say, but they call him what? They call him Fed Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Chairman. You know, they just call him Jay. They say, hey, Jay, let's just, why don't you just, like, face it? You're going to have to break. We're going to break you. You know, Jay Powell doesn't play that game. He's thinking inflation's running hotter because I want employment for people. I want people to have a better life. I am not playing the billionaire hedge fund game, which says I'm supposed to raise so the market goes down so they can get in or cover their short. I am worried about the 300 million people who would be hurt if they were thrown out of a job. I'm not worried about the billionaires, many of whom don't pay taxes. This is what he thinks. You know why? Because he is much more a person of the people than anyone believes. This is the first Fed chair that threw the book away. Why can't any of these billionaires come in and recognize?
Yeah, but
What?
Diamond's not a hedge fund manager. I mean, he runs a large financial institution, as does Jim Gorman.
He's a man of the people because he speaks like a regular person?
No, but he deals with the people because he's runs a large bank. They lend money. They have credit card accounts. They track spending.
Steve Squeri,
AXP,
CEO of
American
Express. He deals with the people every day.
He deals with rich people.
But he also deals with people, you know, there's different cards. Not every card is the silver card. The black card. The black card apparently get into anything. but I just am saying, when I spoke to Steve yesterday at Bar San Miguel, I did not hear the tale of woe. When I listened to Brian Moynihan, I did not hear the tale of woe. I hear very regular people who are saying, you know what? Let's give the regular person a break. That's what Jay Powell wants to do. And these people, don't they realize he threw the book out? No, well, he will slip up at one point and will say, yes, I understand that the PPI was hotter than expected. He may break his discipline and agree with someone who says, but Mr. Chairman, it's hotter than expected. Because I mean, that's all the hotter than expected. They're going to ask him about how fishing is. Hey, how did you catch a bigger largemouth bass than Kramer?
What if he's wrong? What if Powell's wrong that it's transitory?
He's in charge.
I know, but what if he's wrong? What if it's not as transitory as he thinks?
We're all dead.
That's why he should be peppered on that. It's like, look, oil, Goldman says, don't rule out $100 a barrel oil.
I'll rule it out. I mean, look, is oil going to change the way that Greenpeace has suddenly taken over Exxon? I have quote marks for podcast people. I am saying that he can raise rates all he wants. The market's going to correct itself, just like lumber's corrected, just like appliances are correcting. Here's what's going to happen. These guys are all working. They're working flat out, all these different companies. One day, you're going to go to your contractor and say, I want to do the kitchen over. And the contractor's going to say, don't do it now. Don't do it. If we wait a little, it will come down. And that's what Jay's betting on. But these people who have never done a kitchen or a, I guess they have contract, I don't know, they do their yacht kitchen. I am saying they're out of touch. They are out of touch. What happens is the market corrects. If you're selling $8 beer and a guy opens up and he's selling $4 beer next to you, what, are you going to raise it to $9? No. And like Steve Squeri said, the rents are coming down. New guys are coming in. They can charge less. This cycle can go in reverse. And that's what he's saying.
Okay, let's listen to what Squeri told you about the strength of the consumer. Here he is.
Credit numbers are not like anybody thought they were going to be. When I look at my credit numbers, my delinquency numbers, they're lower than they've been in years. And, you know, then personal savings. Personal savings are doubled. And so what does that mean? Well, that means people have money to spend. They have discretionary money to spend. And what do consumers do? Consumers consume. And so they will spend.
It's like what Moynihan said yesterday on Squawk.
See, it would be different if they're spending on borrowed money. It'd be different if they're racking up credit card bills. What Steve Squeri said, it's the opposite. And so did Brian Moynihan. They're saying, listen, the consumer has never been this solid. And yet they're spending money because they have money. If Jay Powell's listening to it, is he going to say, you know what? I have got to wreck what the consumer wants to do because the hedge funds tell me to do it. I got to do that. That's my job, to play the role of the hedge funds, get the stock market down, get the bond. Honest to God, Steve Squeri speaks for more people than anyone. And he is saying that let's let it run. It's doing well. No one is borrowing to any extent. They're spending, and they've got great balance sheets. What are we supposed to do? In 2008, they had horrible balance sheets, and they were spending. And they were borrowing against nothing, and they were buying 5 houses. No. All I'm saying is what Jay Powell said. And I just want to, if one more hedge fund comes on and tells us how the not wealthy person is doing, I mean, no. People who have never gotten jobs are getting jobs. There's still a lot of people who are.
There's like 8 million jobs or 7.5, whatever the number is, million jobs that are yet to be filled. That's where Jay Powell's focus is for obvious reasons.
Okay, but I can focus forever on whether Jay's going to be wrong, or I can just say, what did he tell us? It's going to run hotter than you expect. So we should have immediately adjusted our expectations. Just like we would in sports. I'm telling you, we're more rigorous in sports than we are with this nonsense.
So the Fed is not going to do anything tomorrow as they kick off.
Well,
they kick off their two-day meeting today.
No, but I'm saying that at one point or another, someone's going to say, do you really, with the red-hot housing market, have to continue to buy mortgages like you're doing? And he will say, you know what, maybe we have to consider buying less. And then you have the more two, you know, at 247, the market drops badly and it stays weak for the next 6 days.
Well, look, they've already started to choreograph how the message is going to be delivered. Was it last week or the week before? You had a couple of Fed speakers on this air.
You can't help it. People slip up in a Q&A. And at one point or another, after the 20-second Zoom question about why are you buying so many mortgages, he's going to say, you know what, we'll look at that. And then, boom, the market gets hit. That's what I think.
Well, you can understand, though, why Jamie Dimon or Jim Gorman or Paul Tudor Jones listen to Steve Squeri or Brian Moynihan, who says spending is up 19% over 2019 levels, and says, what in the world is the Fed doing? Why are they doing as much if these guys who are talking to the customers are saying things are so great?
Do we want, so in other words, what you want is for people to do worse, spend less, not have the great luxury of the billionaire execs or the guys who are making $100 million. You want those people in that five-page Amazon article to make less in order to be able to cure what the rich people want. I am not a Marxist. I am not a Trotskyite. I did not read Lenin. I am a Lincoln man, and Lincoln wanted people to make more. And he wanted the rich to pay more in order to make that happen. He was the first guy to suggest a graduated income tax. I'm with Lincoln, not Lenin.
The music's playing. We're going to take a break on that note. It's a good thought.
Can we get a billionaire one? We need another billionaire.
Work the phones.
Yeah.
The soaring meme stocks and why one CEO believes they could be a recipe for disaster. More Squawk on the Street from the New York Stock Exchange is straight ahead. All right, we have breaking news on industrial production. Let's go to Rick Santelli, always watching that. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Scott. Yes, indeed. We are waiting industrial production. It should be hitting momentarily. These are May reads. And do remember, these are, you know, some of the oldest economic statistics we have. So they give us good context, of course, into what's going on with certain areas of mining and manufacturing. Utilization rates moved up a bit. 75.2, we're expecting 75.1. And this definitely is a nice move considering in the rearview mirror, we're following 74.6. So 75.1, that is the best utilization rate going all the way back to February of last year when it was 76.3. So this is a very, very good number in that context. And if we look at the industrial production, it's up 0.8, also a bit better than we were expecting, Scott. That follows up 0.5. And to give some context there, this up 0.8, you know, we've had a couple of 2%ers. March was up over 2%. And we had the high watermark in June of last year at up 6.2. But this is nice. This makes the 4th positive number out of 5 months for 2021. Scott, Jim, back to you.
All right. Appreciate that, Rick. Thank you. Just more evidence that the economy's good.
Well,
economy's,
I mean,
ready to roar back.
A lot of room for economic expansion with that number. We talked during the break about something that I think you should mention about the Fed, where you think we are.
Well, I do think there's a debate, right, obviously, on where inflation's going. And it was, I'm just reminded of the same kind of stuff that we heard after the rescue in 08.
Right.
That there's going to be hyperinflation. I'm still waiting for the hyperinflation.
Yes, I am
that
too.
In some respect, the Fed deserves the benefit of the doubt
until they
get it wrong. And if they got it wrong, I don't know.
Right. It's,
where's the evidence that they've gotten it wrong?
Pretty much every 6 to 8
for
weeks,
what?
Scott.
You How?
Just don't know.
How? I didn't realize you were still there, Rick, but I'm glad you are. How have they gotten it wrong?
Everything wrong. They've gotten everything wrong, in my opinion. I'll tell you why. Because they do what's best so we don't feel the tearing off of the Band-Aid. There's going to be a price to pay. None of this is for free. Nothing in the world is for free. Somebody always pays. And to think that we should stop kicking the tires because it doesn't jump out at you is how incorrect the central banking policies have been. It isn't just the Fed. It's everything. We lower the bar for all the pain and all the payments that have come due, and we just keep stacking them up in the future. And believe me, Scott, this probably isn't going to affect you and me. It's not going to affect Jim, but it's going to affect a lot of people that are probably too young to pay close enough attention.
Look, you are certainly, Rick, not the only one who is voicing that concern. But if I would have pulled a soundbite,
I could care less if I'm the only one or not. It doesn't matter.
It's fine.
It isn't about how many people object.
If I would have pulled a soundbite from you post 08 or 09 and just played it now, it would sound just like what you just said right now.
You know what I said? I said asset prices, financial asset prices. They screamed. That was inflation, all right? It was financial asset inflation because they crowded it all in their balance sheet to protect it from escaping. And they won't be able to do that again, Scott. Trust me. What is it, $8 trillion in that balance sheet?
That's the hyperinflation you were talking about back in 08 was asset
I never said
price
the word
inflation.
Hyperinflation. Don't put words in my mouth. Never said hyperinflation. Pull the tape. Show me hyperinflation.
You may never not have used the words
commodity prices.
I played peacemaker maybe one or two times in my life. I think that both of you guys make good points.
I don't need a peacemaker. I make my own peace.
No, that's,
I don't need any help,
Jim.
I
was trying to be a good guy.
Okay. I mean,
don't need it.
All right. Well,
don't agree with much of what you think about the Fed either, Jim, to be honest.
Well, but that's all right. It's all right. We disagree.
I agree with one thing you said. They know nothing. You should have stuck with that line.
Yeah, maybe at that moment they didn't know anything. And Jim was right to call him out. But
They didn't go big enough in 08, did they, Scott? I know where the evidence is.
The market told the story.
$23 trillion on its way to $30 trillion. Debt.
I can think where there was a lot of spending, Rick, that you probably supported at one point. But
our problem. It's all about spending. We've never had a revenue problem in this country. The more we give, the more they spend.
Okay.
Any more questions, Scott?
Rick, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, as always. I'm glad you stuck around.
As always.
Unexpectedly.
Me too.
You made it better. Thank you. Up next, it's Cramer's Mad Dash as we count down to the opening bell. Let's take a look at futures. The Dow is higher by 31 points pre-market. There's the S&P 500. More Squawk on the Street when we come back.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
All right, it's time now for Cramer's Mad Dash as we count down to the opening bell. You are okay? Are you okay?
I don't know. I've never been trashed as a peacemaker. I'm trying to figure out when a peacemaker was last, other than a Colt 45 peacemaker. All right.
You try and be nice. That's what happens.
It takes just as much energy to be nice as to be mean. All right, so let's go over something that I think is really a little philosophical, and a lot less, by the way, scatological. Amazon. All right, so today you pick up the paper, and there's a devastating piece in the New York Times about what it's really like to work in JFK 8, which is the Amazon warehouse for Staten Island for New York City. And it's a problem, and there are definitely issues, and it was a fantastic investigation. But then you read J.P. Morgan today talking about Amazon's share of e-commerce and how they're going to pass Walmart as the largest U.S. retailer. I think this is extraordinary. Obviously, I like Amazon very much. I like Walmart, but this is the killer.
Well, you said Amazon last week when you were reading on the hat. You said it was your favorite name.
Yeah, and it went up 200 points, which is good. It's better to be lucky than good, though. But I'll tell you this, Scott. I think the controversy, and I read this, there was a Google article, Apple. The media does not like big tech. What the media said about Amazon is right. But the customer is also always right. And what's going on here is that the customer is not going to read that New York Times piece and say, you know what, I'm not going to use Amazon. The customer loves Amazon.
Loves it.
And that's why the J.P. Morgan piece is going to trump. Too controversial after that crazy stuff.
No, don't go there.
I think that Amazon, the piece by J.P. Morgan, is what matters, which is that the customer loves Amazon and they justify the move and then some. and I think Amazon goes much higher. I know I did a piece last night from my friend Larry Williams, which said we could have 6 days of weakness in the weakest days.
Well, you said look out for next week.
Weakest days of the year are right here. It's 11 out of the numbers, 22 out of 22. They've gone down.
Technically worth talking about.
Yes. I know, but it's not technical as much as historical. I think that you use that to buy Amazon because it's obvious that what really matters is the customer. The customer loves Amazon. I'm stunned.
I'm not.
I mean, I'm from Philly. I'm used to Discord.
I'm not stunned.
I threw snowballs.
What does that tell you? The opening bell is just minutes away.
All right, the so-called meme stocks also in the spotlight this morning. AMC Entertainment continuing to rally after soaring 33% over the last two sessions. Petco jumping into the fray, surging 18% yesterday, giving some of those gains back pre-market. You see the move right there. By the way, Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman weighing in on the Reddit-fueled trades yesterday on Closing Bell. Listen.
I worry, obviously, when I see something up 1,200% year-to-date, which at least one of these stocks is. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster at some point. Maybe it never happens and defies reality, but you know, I would not want to be investing at the levels that they're at, and that's just my personal view. I don't think it's healthy. I mean, I don't want people to have expectations that stocks can go up, you know, hundreds of percent in 6 months, and it's all just something that happens naturally.
You know, look, he's not the first. He's not going to be the last who comes out and looks at what's happening in the sort of meme mania world and says, well, I don't like the way this feels. What do you make of this?
Well, I will say, I mean, if you look at the most active every day, it is meme stocks. Look at yesterday's most active. You saw all meme stocks. But I respect James and have from day one. But I think recipe for disaster is too strong. I do think that AMC, they're in love with that. As the higher it goes, the more Adam Aaron can reduce the debt. GameStop, I think they're a little too infatuated, but the man is born in an unbelievable dream team. So maybe he's got something, maybe he doesn't. The other meme stocks, frankly, it's our job. It's the media's job to poke holes, okay? Because the analysts won't. For instance, today there's a very, very, I can't even, it's not, it is so, I'm going to use the term, it's so dirty, it's so pornographic. It's so scatological. Recommendation for B&G Foods, a company I know well. It's a company that's been on Mad Money repeatedly. And they say that, look, it's almost heavily as short as Bed Bath, which we all love. Mm-hmm. That one I actually think is a good company because of Mark Tritton. But it is hilarious. It's so vulgar. And they say, and let's just get this straight, they say that it crushed it on the first quarter. Barclays said the quarter was too ugly to look at. It was a major miss on every single line. Every line it was a miss. And they say it crushed it. Now, there are things what they say, they are hilarious if you think that if you like misogynist humor. And I've got to tell you, any woman who reads this will say this is just beneath civilization. It's so misogynist. But B&G Foods is what they're gunning. I mean, are you kidding me? It's already been gunned substantially, so I question whether someone isn't coming in late. And it just got a new CEO, whom I like very much. But the fact is the company is doing very poorly. And it is outrageous that they're going to do B&G. Now, I also follow Petco, okay? And I have them on, Ron Coughlin. That's been another one that I follow. I mean, I actually do work. I stay up really late. I get up really late. And I do work. Which is something that they ought to try, but they don't care. And that's what I'm going to help James Gorman in. And they moved Petco, okay? Well, Petco looks like a total pump and dump to me. A total pump and dump. They knew nothing about Petco. They didn't have any edge at all. They didn't take Chewy up, which is done by the worshipped, right? By the worshipped Brian Cohen. But there was not. And I happen to like Petco very much. But now they have to move Petco up because they're like, ooh, Jim's saying, well, it's over. Like Corsair, where I said Corsair is a pump and dump.
Right.
Corsair's a pump and dump. I said, don't buy it at 40. Well, you know what? If you bought it at 40, you're a complete chump. Because the hedge funds get these. And the hedge funds short. And I think these guys are unwitting stooges of the hedge funds. So, James Gorman, we will take care of, we in the media, when we're not fighting against each other in some ugly thing that I can't stand. And I am not a particularly nice guy from way back. And I've also played the most sincerely insincere man in North America, but I didn't like that discord. But I will tell you that this is classic pump and dump behavior. James Gorman, the media will help you put an end to this. Okay, B&G is an outrage. It's going to be. I mean, it's up from 29. It was a bad quarter. Everybody, including the company, knows it. They gunned Wendy's to 30, and then it came right back to down to 24. What kind of behavior is this,
Jim? Most, if not all, of these stories are divorced from reality.
Well, B&G's heavily shorted.
But
I mean, that's why
even AMC.
That.
I mean, come on.
Well, AMC and Jimmy, they have the firepower.
Well,
they have the firepower.
They only have the firepower.
Well, I can't take away the firepower.
No, but I mean, part of the reason why they have firepower is because of the quote unquote unwitting stooges that you claimed are bidding these stocks up gave Adam Aron a chance to raise money.
I know Adam. I've known Adam for years. Look, he was Norwegian Cruise. He did a great job. Vail. He did a good job with the process with the 76ers, not being facetious, because he ran the 76ers.
Right, but that stock move is divorced from reality.
No, but they gave Adam a virtuous circle.
Lifeline.
Right, and he's taking advantage of it. So the company is worth more than before the meme people started, obviously. Is it worth this price? He can now go on offense. As long as they keep this up, he will have more money. The two that they own. They do AMC and they do GameStop. GameStop is a nothing retailer. But if you give the guy, Ryan Cohen, enough money and you bring in a dream team, he will reinvent the company, perhaps as a crypto bank in 5,500 locations. He's got 55 million loyalists in their program. So they own those two, and they can keep the balls in the air on those. They hated me when I called from my hospital. I ripped out the darn catheter, and I said, sell it at 400. Uh-huh. And I've been hated ever since by them. And unlike that previous ugly thing that we saw by our own team, they're not on my team, and I don't play for them. And they can say I play for the rich hedge funds. They're idiots. I mean, rich hedge funds. I am saying the hedge funds are taking advantage of what they're doing and shorting the stocks. Some for Clover Health, which is a Hindenburg name, Jeff thinks. And they got overrun because of the short position.
I'll mention that in a second. Let me just, we're 5 minutes overboard, but let me just mention the opening bells. You did hear the bells ringing here at the Big Board Defiant ETF celebrating the launch of its hotel, airline, and cruise ETFs and at the NASDAQ. JustEatTakeaway.com celebrating the completion of its acquisition of Grubhub. So you mentioned DraftKings.
Right.
We pull up shares of DraftKings
to
because
get the line on this.
I know. I had to read that stuff, though.
Here's the report. This is
it's the Hindenburg report this morning relative to its SPAC deal. And it's a look, DraftKings is a very favored name.
It's a good. Well, look, again, I'm just going to maybe I have to take myself out of discussion because I have a program with DraftKings. But I have to look innocent until proven guilty. We got to read the report. Got to get Jason's. Jason was on last week. He told a
right. Robbins was right. Jason.
Yeah.
Robbins.
Yes. He told a very good story. I think that they and PennNat are two companies that have taken advantage of national gaming. Each state, each time they get it, a new state, they do well. You're going to go into the football season. It is a terrific site. But I don't know. I've got to read I'm a little flustered because, again, I have to read through the darn report.
Understood. I mean,
don't you think he deserves?
Of course he does. The stock is down almost 8% on this report. And obviously, by virtue of this tick-by-tick chart that we have on the screen, volume, I'm assuming, is heavier than normal at this time of the morning. For a stock like that.
But we have to look. And, Nate has been right. This is Nathan Anderson. And he's been wrong. And so we have to go through it. I mean, I'm up here on TV right now. And I have not been able to get to it done. I want Jason's response. I've called for it. I've asked. I think that when I took Anderson's side on Clover, because it was a great report, on Nikola, because it was a great report, and on Lordstown. I had all these guys on it. Right.
Yeah.
But then I had Grow Generation on, and he was just very wrong on Grow Generation, which is this is a company that makes picks and shovels for if you want to grow marijuana, which is another, of course, national trend that's working. So Let's
a regular pick and shovel doesn't work like at the True Value or Home Depot.
Really
you need like a special one.
Yes, you do. To grow marijuana, it's very expensive.
You need a special pick and a shovel?
Well, you have to do special lighting indoors.
I get the lighting, but I mean
$10,000 for a lot of the stuff, you know, individual things that you need to grow. You should look at their catalog. I mean, I looked at their catalog because they were on, not because I want to grow marijuana. That's never been my expertise. I grow beefsteak tomatoes, and I grow a lot. I
grow a lot. Eggplants, peppers.
I'm using Japanese eggplant this year. And I a lot of string beans. I got a lot of peas, and I've done a lot of potatoes, which I won't do until the Eagles play the Raiders in Vegas on October 24th. But I do think that he's been right and he's been wrong. So let's just give DraftKings the benefit of the doubt. I mean, Jason Robbins has been a good company.
Let me ask you.
Know, this company's made a lot of money for people. You know that.
Yes, he has.
We should show a long-term chart on DraftKings, and you'll see. I mean, it's been a company that's made a lot of money for people. And I've got to digest this. $21 billion SPAC, but he can hide his black market operations. Well, I mean.
Well, you know what happens. The market sort of votes first and asks questions later. And you're asking
game.
The questions first.
I'm not going to. Just like B&G, when I read the meme and they talked about how great the quarter was. Mm-hmm. And then they did a lot of things that, you know, a sex toy involving Green Giant was the lead. I mean, is that really the kind of research we want? And then they actually pretend they have some research, and then they finally come to the conclusion, which is, look, it's the second heavily most shorted stock that has a good dividend after Bed Bath. Okay, so you want to play that game? Is the game, other than in GME and AMC, literally, I win, you lose, let's beat the shorts? It is on AMC, and because Adam Aron has figured out how to play the game, and he's really an unbelievably good CEO.
He's taken advantage of the game and the hand that was given to him.
And, where was Ryan Cohen's plan last week? Did you see any plan?
No.
No. So, I mean, there's a lot of hope involved there.
There is. Let me steer the conversation to an area of the market that has not been working lately. It does play into this week's events. Banks. I'm looking at J.P. Morgan, down 1.3% right now. All the banks are down this week. They're down 5% in a week. They're down this month. Rates are sub 150, at least they were earlier this morning. I haven't seen them in the last few minutes.
Well, did you listen to what Jamie Dimon said yesterday?
About fintech and about Square?
I mean, I think he wishes that he worked with Jack Dorsey, that he was actually a tech guy.
Yeah.
Do we have what he said about Square? He has Square envy. Can we listen to the Square envy? Look at this. We got to be a little self-critical here. We could have done what Square did. I mean, Jamie, I mean, wow.
Right.
We could have done it.
He said we could have done what Square did and we didn't. OK. And so if you were at my management meeting, I tell them we could have done it and we didn't. We didn't have the imagination to do it. It wasn't a technology. It wasn't like that hard to add. The dongle itself was any mythical.
That was very damning, self-damning, of course. And he's very self-deprecating. But the fact is, it would be better, rather than have him own up, it would have been better had he done it. But he did point out they don't have the regulation. They don't have to worry about legacy systems. And that is very true. And if you were to regulate Square like you would J.P. Morgan, then they wouldn't have done it any better. But Square doesn't have deposit base. They don't have a FDIC. The Fed doesn't look at them. And I do think that overall, Jamie is saying, listen, we're a great bank. We play by our rules, but they're the rules that the government's given
us. Well, he understands the threat that the PayPals and the Squares and maybe to some extent the SoFis of the world
present.
It's
existential, though. It's an existential threat.
What do you do about it if you're him, other than have this moment where you're self-critical and say, well, we could have, would have, should have, but we didn't?
Well, I think that you do what American Express is doing, basically, which is to create. They bought Cabbage, and they're going to do what Square's done. And I think they're going to be very effective. That's one of the reasons I have such affinity for American Express, because they're doing a lot of the things that are going to make it so they compete against Square and small business. I think Jamie should do the same thing. But look, Jamie is a great manager, and he is hamstrung by regulation. But I say, which stocks have done better, Square and, take a look at Square. It's been an unbelievable stock.
Well, the banks were unbelievable stocks. Until they stopped working because rates stopped.
Yeah, but I don't want to be dependent upon interest rates. I want to be dependent on imagination. See, I want the guy with the imagination, the disruptive imagination that's helping small business. I question whether they had the commitment to small business. I question it. The small business commitment from American Express is unquestionable. But the fact is that these guys figured out, Square figured out what you want. As a small business person, I can tell you, the Square people came to see me. And now, fortunately, because I'm lucky enough to have done well, I don't need a product that's to borrow against your receipts. But the average small business does need that. So I think Square didn't. Square had the imagination, and J.P. Morgan had the failure of imagination.
So
very damning.
If the banks are not going to work
PayPal
in a low rate environment,
right?
You suggested last night on Mad Money areas where you could see some pickup: energy, steel, heavy machinery, and chemicals.
Well, that's because if the Fed doesn't play ball and actually sticks with the thesis, those will all go up. And it's helped, by the way, it's bolstered by the fact that Cleveland Cliffs, which I had on very recently.
Oh, pre-announced this morning.
Pre-announced
you see that?
This morning.
I wanted to bring that up with you. I'm glad you did.
And the stock's down because which is really incredible in itself.
It's been a big winner.
It's been a big winner. But what has to happen is that the Fed has to stay. If the Fed stays on course, then the hedge funds will go nuts. And Paul Tudor Jones will be right when he says you got to go all in on the commodities trade. But Paul Tudor Jones is a good commodities trader. I don't want to mix my metaphors here. If the Fed changes its tune, then I think that the senior growth stocks work. And if the Fed sticks with it, with its tune, then I think the steels work. Look at Freeport. Freeport's gone from 45 to 38.
Joe Terranova bought Freeport yesterday.
Did he? Was he on the? So. I didn't know.
Oof, that's ugly this morning, though.
Very, very
down
ugly.
Down like 6%.
But look, I mean, you know,
maybe
copper's down 11% from its high. Iron ore's down 10% from its high. That's Cleveland Cliffs. Soybeans down 7. Corn's down 11. Generic lumber down 41. Now, someone could say, but Jim, look at how much they're up here to date. But I can see a pattern. Commodities coming down. And I think that China's economy is slowing because of the illness.
And as we said earlier, though, but Jim, oil is, you know, maybe going to 100
bucks. Oil, there's a great article today about how the Greens have made it so that there's going to be a scarcity of oil. And that's been the thesis that I've been sticking by, which is that the shortage of oil and pipelines, which is kind of manufactured to some degree by the Greens, is going to cause oil to go up in the same way that oil went down repeatedly, as Rusty Brazil pointed out from RBN, who's fantastic. Oil went down repeatedly under Trump because Trump wanted to drill anywhere. When you constrain drilling, which the Permian, they're not drilling more, it's at 71, then that price will go higher.
You see the Exxon call this morning, though? Reiterated by Bank of America, $90 the price target.
I talked last night about it.
That's a huge gain from here.
I said,
and they think they're going to raise a dividend.
Look, I think Exxon's a good stock here now. Why? Because I didn't think these stocks were investable because I was worried about their commitment to the environment. Anyone who looks at that Exxon board, that board is so committed to the environment, I want to buy Exxon. So I've changed my tune on the ones. Mike Wirth at Chevron, he's passionate. Okay? Sheffield at Pioneer, passionate. Exxon, the most pro-environmental board of all the oils because of Engine One. So these stocks are now up stocks. I know we got to move on, but I like the oils.
Okay.
Those oils that I just mentioned.
Were you getting the same message in your ear as I was in mine?
Yeah, well, that's someone said. I'm an automaton.
Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hi, Bob. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott. Good to see you. Very modest response to that hotter PPI, 6.6% year over year. That's the way I look at it versus 6.2%. 10-year flattish. The VIX still sitting around 16. That's about where it was pre-pandemic. So, again, very modest response. Take a look at the sectors. And as we've been noting, there's been a bias against cyclical and value so far this month, continuing a little bit today, but not as much. Energy, great moves up here. Just new highs in energy as oil holds up near $70. The banks, industrials flattish, tech's kind of flattish. But the overall trend has been pretty clear. Buy a little more growth and sell a little more of the cyclical slash value stocks here. And you can see what's been going on in the overall fund manager surveys. Bank of America had their fund manager survey out today. What's really remarkable is just how bullish they are overall, particularly on the cyclical. Take a look here. Their overall inflation issues here, transitory. Surprisingly, 72% buying into the Fed's idea. It's transitory. 23% saying it's going to be permanent. What's the greatest risk? It's not been COVID for a long time, many months. Inflation is the greatest risk for most of them, 30%. But interestingly, as many people think it's going to be a Fed taper tantrum, that the Fed will get the messaging wrong, essentially, also saying 30% as the biggest risk. Here's what's surprising. The most crowded trade is long commodities. Who would have thought? I have never seen that as the most crowded trade. I've been watching this for many, many years. Of course, Paul Tudor Jones said bet heavily on commodities. I think the problem a lot of people have is the money has already been made on this particular trade. If you take a look at what's been going on this year in the inflation trade, that's where everybody's been making the money. And energy's up 46%, materials up 19%. There are commodities ETFs that own futures positions that are up 25, 30, 35%. There's even an inflation ETF that started in January. I've been tracking owning stocks that are inflation sensitive. It's up 20%. Remember, the S&P's up 12 or 13%. So these have all outperformed essentially now. And the reflation trade, if you look at the actual stocks themselves that are in this business, they've already started looking toppy. Freeport's have a terrible morning, by the way. I think Scott mentioned it's down 5 or 6%. So that would be down 20. This was prior to the open here. But these stocks, these are reflation stocks. Parker Hannifin, of course, does a lot of motion control systems, aerospace stuff. Schlumberger and CSX, they're already topped out about a month ago and have been showing some signs of coming off of their highs rather noticeably. Meantime, all of the speculative tech stuff that got clobbered in March and April, down 40, 50%. They've stopped going down. They've started moving up in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, they're still off their highs. Zoom and Shopify and Roku, PayPal, they're 15, 20, 25% off of their highs. But the point is, they're back again. They've stopped going down and started creeping up. So the reason the market keeps sitting at a new high is because of this amazing ability to keep rotating in and out of various sectors. It's certainly a very healthy sign. I have no idea if the reflation trade is going to roar back, like Paul Tudor Jones says. But certainly, Scott, the easy money in that trade was made in the first 4 months of the year. Back to you.
Bobby, thank you. Appreciate it. Bob Pisani. Coming up, the autonomous vehicle landscape. Don't miss a first on CNBC interview with Cruise CEO and the former General Motors president, Dan Amon. Squawk on the Street. Be right back. Just a moment. Take a look at the top gainers on the S&P 500. There it is, ExxonMobil. We were just discussing that. Along with Micron.
That's been a tailspin for a long time.
Battling it out for the top spot today. Up next, it's Stop Trading with Jim. Time now for Stop Trading.
One of my absolute favorites is Thermo Fisher TMO. It's been a remarkable performer. But Goldman Sachs today cuts its price target from 590 to 530 while, of course, leaving it a buy. Now, this is really important. Because they make the best machines, PCRs, they make PerkinElmer too, for COVID. And if we go on the downside of COVID, then that's going to cause numbers to be cut. And that's what they're saying is going to happen.
What's on Matt tonight?
Okay, I have Akamai, which should be benefiting from the problems at Fastly. And I've got Twilio, which is just, you know, that is the ultimate senior growth stock that people have, that and Adobe's reports later this week, that people have clustered around, if you want to believe in a low inflation scenario, Jeff Lawson.
All right.
Also doing some great charity work.
Good
Sorry
stuff.
For what happened.
You didn't do anything wrong. So there's nothing to apologize for.
I played for CNBC. Okay. And the institution must be preserved at all times.
All right. We'll see you tonight.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.